Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Thank you for joining me. This is Hack the Entrepreneur. I am John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest is an author and entrepreneur who successfully overcame Crohn's disease with his incredible willpower, understanding and testing of nutrition, and rigorous exercise. He launched his entrepreneurial career early, when at the age of 12, he agreed to create a company website for one of his father's business associates. This was the foundation of Liontex, a web development company that ended up developing over 150 websites. More recently, he co-founded Less Doing, where he works on making every task in life and business more efficient. This is the seventh company he has built, and it's the first time in his life that he sees himself as an entrepreneur. Now, let's hack Ari Mizell. Before we get going, I want to take a minute to thank the awesome sponsor of Hack the Entrepreneur, FreshBooks, for making my life easier and for sponsoring the show. What is the one thing that I am not good at? I am absolutely horrible at staying on top of my bookkeeping and accounting for my business. Like, I'm terrible at it. FreshBooks is designed for small business owners like you and like me. FreshBooks integrates directly with three things that I use every day in my business: PayPal, Stripe, and MailChimp. It goes beyond that now. I can fully integrate it with my credit card and my bank accounts, so I don't even have to worry about keeping track of my expenses. It does it all for me. Really, I think the only thing it doesn't do for my business is actually make the money. But it keeps track of it all on the other side, which is amazing to me. To start your 30-day free trial today, go to freshbooks.com/hack. And don't forget to enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. I have another amazing guest. Ari, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Okay, Ari, let's jump straight into this. As an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I would say probably tracking, honestly. I put a lot of effort into, that's not fair to say I put a lot of planning into tracking most of the things that I do in my life and my business. And I find that even in the cases where I don't necessarily act on them or I make a big change because of that information, just having that awareness has been extremely powerful for me, not only in terms of how I plan the way I do things, you know, portioning my time, but also just in terms of stress in general, because I think that a lot of the overwhelm that people tend to feel in their lives is simply due to the fact that they're just unaware of the information that's going on around them and how they're actually spending their resources, whether that's time, money, or energy.
Smart. Tracking. So can you say, give us an example of like tracking, say, of something you have to do, like writing maybe, or how would you track that?
Sure. So, well, I can talk about writing specifically, but like one of the examples I love to give in general for anybody who uses a computer, which is, you know, lots of people obviously, is something like Rescue Time. And, you know, Rescue Time is an app that will run on your computer and tell you over time how you're using your computer. You know, that you've spent 7 hours this week on Excel and 10 hours on Facebook and 14 hours on email. And it can actually start to show you your most productive days and your least productive days. And that's really powerful information, even if you, again, if you don't necessarily do something about it, but just being aware of it. But as far as like writing, you know, you can track how much you've written each day. And some of that, when I say tracking, is also just about reminders sometimes, you know, and habit creation. So instead of trying to write 20 pages a week, if you're trying to write, you know, 10 lines a day or 100 words a day, and have those sort of micro goals, it's not only easier to track, but it's also a lot easier to stay with it.
Nice. Okay, Ari, there's a time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have a calling to make something bigger than themselves, or they simply just can't work for somebody else. Can you tell me which of these two camps you are and when this sort of happened for you?
Oh man, I think I had both happen at several times. I'm a terrible employee. I've worked for 12 different companies throughout my life, and I gave up on that when I was 21, I'd say. I've had both those happen. And the time that the thing about not working for someone happened was when I was actually working at Freddie Mac, of all places. So I've worked at some really very large organizations. And Freddie Mac, for people who aren't familiar, is basically like the largest mortgage organization or conglomerate there is. And I was in Washington, or I was actually in McLean, Virginia, working for them. And I get there the first day, and I have six bosses. This is like right out of Office Space. I have six bosses, and all of them are going to a conference the next day for 2 weeks. So that all of them gave me projects to do while they were gone. And I got there the next day, and I finished all six projects. And I don't think that's because I'm like particularly good at this. It's just that I don't think that they were planning this very well. And then basically the next 2 weeks, I spent sort of like learning about the business that I was working in, and I really did not like it. So basically they all came back and I left. So that was not good. The other thing was that office had flex hours. So you had to do like 7 hours and 45 minutes of work a day, but it was a 24-hour facility. So I was like, I would get up at 5 and go in and go take like a 3-hour lunch and come back. And so something that just doesn't really work in the real world. So that was that. And then as far as like the calling, I think that that is a much, much, much more recent thing for me with less doing, because after overcoming Crohn's disease and my whole journey with that and creating a new system of productivity, which originally I thought was really just a system of productivity to help people sort of get more done, it's become so much more than that in terms of helping people just relieve the stress in their lives and be more effective. And the response that I've gotten to it has really been very humbling for me. And so less doing is the first time in my life where I feel, oddly, because less doing is my seventh business, but it's the first time where I feel like I'm really being an entrepreneur.
Nice. So we shouldn't just gloss over, I guess, the Crohn's disease. Can you tell us that story and how you overcame that? Because that's pretty like a traumatic, life-changing disease, right?
Yeah. So that's true. I did kind of gloss over that. So
it seems like we shouldn't.
Yeah. About 8 years ago or so, I was working in construction. I'm a real estate developer, basically. That's what I've been for 14 years. And less doing is now my passion, but I still do real estate development, even though it doesn't take much of my time. But 8 years ago, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And I was living a very, very, very extremely unhealthy lifestyle, which had some contribution to it, of course. But basically, for those who don't know, Crohn's is a chronic inflammatory condition that affects the digestive tract. It's very, very painful. It's not very well understood at all. And there's just a ton of medicine that they put you on, and a lot of people end up having to have surgeries. So I didn't have to have surgery. I was on a lot of meds, like 16 pills a day at one point. And I was getting sicker because I just really wasn't changing much in my life. And after one really bad night in the hospital, I decided I had to do something drastically different. And after doing a lot of self-tracking and some self-experimentation, I was able to get off my meds after 4 months and go on to compete in my first triathlon. And then while I was setting my sights on Ironman France, which was about a year and a half after that, along the way, I realized the nutrition and the supplements and the fitness aspects of what was going on with my illness were actually pretty straightforward. And I've replicated my results in dozens of other Crohn's patients at this point. But the hard part was managing stress. And stress, no matter how you look at it, is an inflammatory component. And it's something that affects pretty much everybody. And my response to that was to create a new system of productivity, which I would call less doing. And the goal of everything I do is to help people optimize, automate, and outsource everything in their lives, including their health, in order to stress less, free up their mind, do more of the things they want to do, and just be more effective.
Impressive. And so Crohn's, this is a dumb question. There's Crohn's and there's another disease similar to it?
Colitis.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So I'm pretty sure it was Crohn's. It resonates with me because my niece, who is now 20, but when she was like 14, 15, actually she's 18 right now, sorry. When she was 14, 15, she was like in the hospital all the time. I would fly out and like stay with her for weekends and sometimes, and it was brutal, and she had like crazy surgeries, and now she's obviously getting better, but so it's something that's why I couldn't gloss over it.
Sure. Ulcerative colitis.
It was horrible to watch.
It's really debilitating. And the thing is that a lot of people don't realize that the gut is very unique in that the pain receptors in the gut, they're not really there, actually. So you can cut it you could cut it, you could burn your intestines and you wouldn't actually feel that. But stretching the intestines is one of the most painful things a human being can experience. And that's what happens when you get these scar tissue buildups and food blockage. It's not good.
Yeah. And she had surgeries and luckily she could recuperate well because she was young. But, and now she's obviously still young. And so on social media, growing up with it, she hashtags oftentimes her Twitter things, no colon, still rolling. And I think it's the funniest thing. I'm just like, wow, like, geez, I don't think I could do that at that age. But so she's overcame it well, and it's cool. But she still obviously can't do certain things because of her surgery, can't eat certain stuff, but it's cool. Sorry, I'll stop the digression.
Not at all.
All right, Ari, let's move to work. So you are Mr. Optimization. You know how to get a lot of stuff done. And so you're in real estate, you have less doing, you have three sons, you have a wife, and you are putting on a conference this May. So you are a busy person, yet you sound calm and controlled. Can you tell us about today's a work day? What was like the first 30 minutes of your day? What did it look like? How did you structure it and to set yourself up to be able to get the stuff you needed to get done?
That's a good question for today, actually. So yes, I am calm and I fit a lot of stuff into a small amount of time. And in the face of it, it actually is really crazy, I think, looking. This morning I got a blood draw done, actually, and I did a phone call while I was having it done. Our mornings are kind of variable. So we have three kids. The oldest one has just turned three, and then we have twin 22-month-olds, basically. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. And they're all boys and they're all crazy. And we have two dogs who are also boys. So there's just like a lot of testosterone in our house.
Jeez.
And my wife contributes to that too. She's got her own sort of go get it attitude that I think is sort of testosterone driven. So there's just a lot of testosterone in the house, which is good. It keeps us all on task. So basically my mornings start usually shortly before 6 a.m., but it can be 5:30 or so. I like getting up early. Actually, what I like mostly, and this sort of answers the question, is, and I tell people this when I'm talking about getting up early and getting up in the morning, I don't think you need to get up a certain time necessarily. I think that the important thing for most people is to get up on your own terms. And what I mean by that is that if you're getting up because a baby is crying or because, you know, your spouse is asking you to get them something or because the dog needs to go pee, that's sort of waking you up in this like cortisol infused state. Whereas if you wake up on your own terms, you know, even if that means getting up earlier than your kids might wake up or by anybody might wake up. And some people think that's crazy initially. It's like, why would I get up at 5:30 if I don't need to? It's like, well, if you do, you're going to have a few minutes to yourself to just breathe and think. And, you know, eventually that turns into maybe you can get up and do some push-ups, or maybe you can get up and I meditated for the first time in a year 2 days ago, and it was amazing. So that's the first thing. So usually I'm up a little bit before six and we're getting the kids ready to eat and get to school and all that good stuff. But basically my work days are Mondays and Wednesdays. So I deal with emails and, you know, some calls other days, but I don't schedule anything for work other than on Mondays and Wednesdays. So that makes for very interesting Mondays and Wednesdays. First of all, I work nonstop from 9 a.m. to, well, nonstop from 9 a.m. to like 5 p.m. And then on Mondays, I also do 7 p.m. to like 10 or 11 p.m. because I do my mastermind calls and some other interviews. So they're very packed days. So this morning was particularly interesting. I had a call at 9:15. At 9:30, I had a needle in my arm getting blood drawn, a lot of blood because I'm doing a big test I wanted to, which is another funny story because I walk into the doctor and I have like a list of things I want to get blood tested and I have to go through and explain why for each one. And she only fought me on two of them and I gave in to those two.
That's good of you. A little give, a little take.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of them was estradiol. And she's like, do you think you have any breast tissue growth? I was like, no. She's like, all right, well, then let's skip that vial. So anyway, 9:30, got a blood draw. At 9:45, I had another call and I walked in and we started this interview at 10 o'clock. So
yeah.
And then I've got, you know, 10:30, 11, 11:30, 12:30, 1, 2:15, 3 o'clock. So it just goes on and on. So a lot of what I'm doing with my time is podcast interviews and conversations, which I love. I love this kind of, you know, you and I could basically just be on the phone right now talking,
yeah,
essentially, with the kind of calls that these are. And that's what I love so much. I get so much value out of the podcasting conversations. And then writing stuff, I'm usually doing that at night because that's sort of when things like calm down a little bit and I can think a little more clearly. And then I do my mastermind coaching calls all on Mondays. So
nice. Okay, so I asked you what your one thing was, and then every sort of expert in blog post now is telling us about the 80-20 rule. Find what it is you're good at, delegate the rest, because you'll get all the value from your things that you're good at. You know what you're good at. It's tracking. Can you tell us something that you are just not good at?
Sure. So I am not good at managing emotion, actually, but oddly enough. And I mean that in a couple different ways. I had somebody on my podcast named Steven Sisler once who is basically like a profiler. And he said that I had like psychopathic tendencies, and not in a crazy way, just in like a,
it sounds like there is no other way. Ari.
Well, there's a really great book called The Wisdom of Psychopaths. And it basically makes the argument that there's elements of being a psychopath that are actually evolutionary, like advancing in evolution. And one of them is basically the ability to compartmentalize emotions, because fear that we all have, like innate fear to, you know, the lion coming after us kind of thing, is actually really detrimental in a lot of situations. It'd be good if we could stop that. So I process emotions in very weird ways sometimes. I can be very, very sensitive. I love and adore my kids and my family, my wife, and most movies that have some emotional element to them will make me cry. But other things I just can gloss right over without any issue. And sometimes that comes into personal relationships that I have to sort of remind myself that I'm trying to be too efficient in conversations and I'm not being enough of a human being. So that's definitely something that I think is not a struggle, but just something I need to improve in myself.
That's interesting, actually, because I was on a mastermind call last night and one of the guys just quit his job. He's a CPA, good paying job, been there for 8 years or 9 years, and quit on Friday because he has a business now that he's built up and it's going well, but he's kind of freaking out, right? Because he's like just going through all the apps, like, how do I stay productive? I don't have a structure anymore. And so it was an interesting discussion. And we got into a discussion about how, because I'm not super efficient, I think I get a lot of stuff done, but it's pretty messy. I think that's how I kind of just work. And there was the discussion about if you are too efficient, does it make you almost like robotic where you don't get to have that emotion? So how do you balance that? So you still have the full, especially when you're writing, you're creating, you're teaching, Ari, you're putting on a conference to teach people to do like live a better life, right? So you can't be just Mr. Robotic. I only do this stuff that is, and I ignore everything else. Is that a hard balance for you? Or how do you teach people even to contend with that balance?
Right. So I do it as an exercise sometimes, but that's not something I recommend other people do, you know, because they're not the author of Less Doing. And so some of the stuff I do is like ad nauseum, but it really depends on what the point is. And, you know, for me, I want to be able to free up time so that I can be with my family and be present with my family when I am with them. So, you know, your goal may be that you want to be able to practice guitar more, or you want to work on old cars. So it's more like an end to, or a means to an end kind of thing. So if your goal is that you want to be able to spend more time with friends, then that's great. And you can do that. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be making sort of, I guess, optimization sacrifices that affect that negatively. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Yeah. Okay. That's going to lead us, I guess, now into, with outsourcing and stuff, I guess, into projects, especially because it looks like you're taking a lot of stuff on and you obviously research how to outsource and get lots of stuff off your plate. But that still doesn't mean, I'm sure, that you take on all projects in your business. How do you decide this, like at this point in your business and in your life, what projects that you should execute on and take? Like, how do you come across with the idea that I should put on a live event? Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. So a big part of being productive is saying no. You know, that you want to be able to say yes to things, but saying no, it's one of many things where you have to tell somebody that, you know, doing the thing that seems like the bad thing is actually going to help you out in the long term. There's also the idea of sort of delayed gratification, which is really challenging when you're dealing with entrepreneurs and dealing with almost anybody actually nowadays, because, you know, I just started using Amazon Prime Now here in New York City, where you can get 25,000 things from Amazon within an hour.
In an hour.
I saw that. Yeah. So, I mean, teaching people delayed gratification is really tough, honestly. And so basically telling somebody, like, you have to put in the work now, or, you know, to reap that benefit later and sort of grow. And that's always a challenge.
So, but in your business, so saying no is one thing, and we all realize we have to say that, but how do you decide what to say yes to?
So sort of like a filtering system, right? And I have this, it's a thing that I apply to how I teach people to do email better, but it actually really does apply to anything. And it's the three D's. So the first one is deal with it. And that means that you can do it right now. And ideally, you can do it in like the next 5, maybe 10 minutes, but really 5 minutes. So remember, again, this is mainly for email, but it applies to other things. So is this something you can deal with right now in the next 5 minutes? If it is, deal with it right now. And so that means that somebody, you know, and of course, I know you're referring to different kinds of projects and requests, but somebody might come to you and say, like, oh, can you look at this thing right now? Or can you just sign these documents? Can you read this? Can you approve this design? So if it's like, yes, if that's something you can do in 5 minutes, then do it right now. If it's something that is not important and not essential, and you can make that determination in that moment, then delete it. So again, email, but you can say no. So sometimes there's things that are obvious. It's like, you know, this person who is asking for an hour of my time and it's really not going to have any benefit. I can't make that determination right now. So you could say no to the obvious ones. And then the third one is to defer it. And deferring is not procrastinating. Deferring is where you're actually saying, look, there is a better time and maybe a better place for me to deal with this particular thing. And I'm going to defer to that time. So if that's in an email, you can forward it to that time using a service like followup.cc. And if it's another person, you can say, listen, I'd like to give this better thought, more thought. And, you know, so why don't we talk in a week? Come back to me with it. And sometimes putting the ball in somebody else's court is a filtering mechanism in itself, because if somebody doesn't follow up, then that's great. You know, it's a really, you haven't said no, but you've also shown that they're not really serious. Nice. So sometimes putting the onus of seeing if it's worthwhile, you can really push that off on other people. And by setting up some barriers between you and your time and people's ability to access that time, that's a pretty good thing. You know, so if somebody actually goes through those hurdles, and a good example, honestly, is like you and me, we've had to reschedule this interview 3 times and it's my fault. But the fact that, you know, you'll have people, and I'm sure you've seen this with your podcast and in meetings in general, people will be like, oh, I got to reschedule. And then you never hear from them again. Whereas you and I were, you know, both of us were like right on it, rescheduling. Like that's usually a good sign, you know? And if somebody
exactly
sticks with it, then you can be like, okay, this is serious. They care. Like it's worth the time.
Yeah. I've had people cancel and then it's like, they don't say anything. And I'm just like, I'm not going to say anything either then. Like for
Absolutely.
Some people, it's like, you know what, it's just the way it is, right? But with us, yeah, it wasn't like that. Actually, this kind of makes me think of Essentialism.
Yeah, Greg McKeown. Book.
I just started it last night, which is really just getting down to the essentials of what it is in your life or in your business that you should be doing and you should be dealing with and get rid of or defer or delete the rest. So that's great. Okay, we're going to finish up with success and the future. We're sitting at the beginning of a new year. Can you tell me what it is you want to accomplish for yourself and for your business this year to make you happy?
Yes, absolutely. So as you've sort of alluded to, I have this live event coming up in May in New York City. So it's May 1st through 3rd, and it's in New York City. We haven't confirmed the venue yet, but if people go to lessdoinglive.com, they can find out more about the event. They can sign up for a free 60-minute coaching call where they're actually going to get some really great value and then hear about the event. And that's the thing that I am so, so excited for, because I want to get 150 to 200 people at that event and nice. People who just want to change their lives, essentially. And it'll be all in person. We're going to have some great speakers. I'm really focusing out most of my efforts on that right now. And then the other thing is that I have my mastermind coaching group, which is just my really, really my passion right now. I've got 12 people in it at the moment who are just such high achievers and accomplishing such amazing things together. So I'm just really excited to see where all this stuff goes, and I'm trying to create a movement.
Excellent. And I wish you luck, and I'm sure that you will do all that you set out to do. So lessdoinglive.com, I will link to that in the show notes, and lessdoing.com is the main site, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
Excellent. Ari, thank you so much. I'm glad we finally got to connect, and thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, John. Really appreciate it.
Ari, thank you so much for joining me and for being so candid with your responses. If you are interested at all in outsourcing any parts of your life, Ari is the guy who, he, as he says, he just dissects all of it and analyzes it to just such an insane level, and then writes about it and shares about it on lessdoing.com. And it is absolutely a place that you should check out. Ari said a lot of smart things. He said a lot of cool things. He said a lot of interesting things. But he said one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
There's also the idea of sort of delayed gratification, which is really challenging when you're dealing with entrepreneurs and dealing with almost anybody actually nowadays, because, you know, I just started using Amazon Prime Now here in New York City, where you can get 25,000 things from Amazon within an hour. Yeah. So, I mean, teaching people delayed gratification is really tough, honestly. And so basically telling somebody, like, you have to put in the work now, or, you know, to reap that benefit later and sort of grow and whatnot. That's a challenge.
And that's the hack. Ari. Yes, yes, yes. And this is interesting because this is something that I've been dealing with in the last couple of months. And I have this sort of mantra that I've been kind of living by now, and I stole it somewhere, and I'm not exactly sure where, but it's amazing. Live in days, work in months, plan in years, which to me, the living days is really, that's that whole entrepreneurial gap that I've been dealing with and that lots of us deal with, is the not living in right today and not sort of looking at and giving ourselves credit for where we have come through. We're always looking forward. But let's talk about work in months, because work in months to me is project-based. Me as an entrepreneur, I'm very project-based. I work like really, really hard for a project, a time period, a set time period. And then I can pull back and kind of not have to work on it, not have to think about stuff, just kind of hang out with my family, do what I want, and then I get excited and I want to do another project-based thing. This is twofold. One thing, it allows me to work when I'm ready to work and work when I'm excited and really go all in onto stuff and not worry about the fact that I happen to be working 7 days a week sometimes, because I know it's project-based. But as Ari says, it also, almost more importantly, gets rid and delays gratification. It gets rid of that entrepreneurial lottery thing where we think that, get all excited about an idea, we go all sort of into it for 2 days or 3 days or a week, and it doesn't just pay off instantly and we just give up. And this, if I'm going to go project-based and work in months, I'm going to have thought about it enough to know that it has legs. It is something that will take off if I push it hard enough and long enough. And it sets you up to never expect gratification now. It takes a lot of work. With this podcast, when I started, I worked for 6-7 weeks before I even went live. It's just how it was. And I worked my butt off doing it, but I knew that that's what I was doing setting up. And then I knew I would have to, and then it kind of spiraled and grew, got bigger than I expected, which is awesome. And so the project has become bigger than I thought at the beginning, but that's cool. If I had just thought, I'm just going to start a podcast and get all excited and launch it 2 weeks after starting, and it would have been crap. It would have just dissolved into the other 1,000 podcasts that come out every week in iTunes and never go anywhere, because you're not setting yourself up. You have to set yourself up to work in months. It's absolutely key. So Ari, thank you for bringing that up, because this is really top of mind to me and really has been super impactful on how I've sort of looked at life, how I've lived in the days, work in the months, and then plan in the years, in sort of a thematic sort of what you sort of want to achieve in the big ways coming into the next year and 5 years, etc. So Ari, thank you so much. That is powerful and cool stuff. All right. I do thank you so much for taking the time to stop by. There are a lot of options for podcasts out there, and I super appreciate you spending the time with me today. It's awesome. If you want to reach out to me, John, J-O-N, at hacktheentrepreneur.com is my email. Comes straight to my computer, straight to my phone if I happen to not be working. And tell me what's on your mind. Tell me what you think of the show. Tell me if I'm missing a question that you just wish I would ask, or if there's somebody you would love to see on the show, or if you just want to say hi, by all means, hit me. That's my email. I'd love to hear from you. This has been a lot of fun. I truly, truly, truly do thank you. And until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.